to be here tonight, today, amen, or
figure out where I'm at, amen. Just celebrated in August our 19th year at Faith Promise Baptist Church, started in a storefront. We praise the Lord for all the support and all the prayer that we received from Grace Baptist Church, amen. They always took care of us, even when we didn't deserve to be taken care of. There's something to be said to say that you're from Grace Baptist. And I've been places and they've talked about this place, but you know, this is like heaven on earth for me. I come home. I love this place. I love the people. Praise the Lord for it. I ask that you do pray for our church. We're getting a new neighbor. Church of the Latter-day Saints is moving in next door to us. And nothing we could do about it. But I ask that you'll pray for our church as we figure out how to stay separated, but also give them the gospel to them. And ask that you'll pray for that. This morning, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 49 through 53. Two weeks ago, I had a gentleman visit my church. One of our, somebody that I've been picking up on Sunday mornings, invited his brother-in-law to come to church, and his brother-in-law first said, I'm not going to come to a Baptist church because I was born a Catholic and I'm going to go to the Catholic church. The gentleman that I had been picking up said, well, I'm borrowing his car, so I'm going to have to take him to the Catholic church. I said, I understand that. So they get in the car and they go to the Catholic church, and they didn't have Mass. They missed Mass. So the gentleman's brother-in-law looked at him. He said, well, I guess I'll just have to go to a Baptist church. So they showed up for Sunday school. They came to Sunday school, preached the Sunday school lesson, and the Lord put on my heart to give the gospel, gave the gospel in Sunday school. He got mad because I said salvation was through Jesus Christ, and he told me it was through Mary, and he left. 4.5 days later, he died. I wish I could stand here and tell you today that he got saved. He didn't get saved. Christ is a divider of men. Christ is a divider of this country. And we seem to have the attitude today that God is love, and that is true. But we seem to have the attitude that everybody can get along, and there's no reason to stand for anything anymore because it's not correct. Now, we've heard that this morning, and normally when we consider the concept of division, we do so in a negative light. And if the Lord will allow me this morning, I want to preach for a few minutes on Christ the divider. Christ the divider. You know, we think of verses such as Proverbs 6 and verse 19, where the scripture condemns one that sows discord among the brethren. And Paul had written to the church to Corinth to correct their problem of division within the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. But however, today I want to draw our attention to this passage that we're going to be looking at here in Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 53. It says, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now we look at these verses here, and we see this. And we see what it says here in verse 51. It says, suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth. Yes, we You know, what about that message that the angels at his birth, they did say that, didn't they say, glory to God and peace on earth? They did say that. But their message had to do with the ultimate peace that he will bring when he comes to establish his kingdom upon this earth. That's what they're talking about there. The first time that he came as a Lamb of God who had to be sacrificed for man's sin. And this next time he comes, he's coming back as a lion. And he's going to come back with all of his wrath. Our country and our world is getting ready to see the wrath of God. He's coming back. And we're getting ready to go up. I truly believe that. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer as we speak for a few moments this afternoon on Christ the Divider. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you have given us. Lord, I need you. Lord, I ask that you'll fall down upon this place and, Lord, that you'll use your word. Lord, that you'll speak through your word and give us what we need today, that we'll leave this place different than what we came in here Thursday, different than what we came in here this morning. Father, we've heard good messages this morning, Lord, stuff that we needed to hear. Father, how it quickened my heart this morning, all the messages. But Father, Lord, as we concentrate on this, Lord, allow us to see what your purpose is. Allow us to see that if we're divided from the world, that we're following you. Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for saving our souls. We thank you for this church. We thank you for this meeting. We thank you for these men of God. May you sit down upon us. May you fill us richly with your Holy Spirit today. We give you all the glory and honor and praise in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. But as we look here in Luke chapter 12 and verse 51, it says, suppose ye that I've come to give peace on the earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. You know, Christ was a divider at his birth. We won't go to all this, but you know, he was a divider at his birth. He divided time. The measurement of time centers upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you see a date in history, it is referred to as the birth of Christ. Even the agnostics and the atheists must daily can daily see the fact that B.C. before Christ and then A.D. or as the year of our Lord, I understand our times divided by him. Then we look a little bit farther and we see that he divided men. You think of Herod at his birth and the wise men. It divided them. Herod told them to return to him with the information about whereabouts Christ was. And they returned another way to their countries, did they not? You know, however, they were warned by God not to return, and they departed for their own countries, but Christ divided them. They did not go back. He divided the light from the darkness. You know, as we get in the heart of this morning, as we get through the introduction for just a minute, you know, at his birth, the darkness of night was interrupted with a glorious light from heaven. If you'll flip back to Luke chapter 2 for just a moment, we know these verses. There's nothing new I'm going to show you, but in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 8 and 9 it is, the Word of God says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, we think about this for just a moment. This was simply an example of how the life would impact the darkness. We know that when he came into the world, that he brought light with him. Amen. And I think about the day on November the 16th, 1975, over there in the other building, as a 10-year-old boy, he brought some light to my life. I remember that he changed my walk. He changed my speech. He changed what I did. You know, we think about him being a divider. You know, I think about mankind. I think about what we're going into today. You know, I don't know about you, but I didn't think I'd see some things today that I've seen in the pastorate. I didn't think I would see them. Been pastor now for going on This will be my 20th year as a pastor, but been preaching for 27 years now, and I thought some of this stuff I would never see, and I'm seeing things, and like one preacher said the other day, I call preachers and they say, I've never seen that before, Brother Gene. And I say, oh, goody. That means at least the first or the second. Oh, wow. You know, we think about this for a moment. We go back to him being the light, and we're living in a very dark time. All the sin that was in the closet, all the sin that was hidden is now right in our face. There's nowhere you can turn around without seeing sin. Nowhere. We look here and we see John's gospel, John 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, in him was life, and the life was light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, here's the thing. You go and you witness and you soul win to people, and that's what we're supposed to do, but it's like they got a blank stare on their face anymore. It's like the man that was in my church the other day. I preached to him in Sunday school, and the Lord led away that I gave the full gospel presentation to him. And he told me, he said, you know, I'm going to leave this church because only salvation I can get is through Mary. And I said, no, you're wrong, sir. Jesus Christ wants to save your soul. He says, are you telling me the priest lied to me? I said, yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. He said, I'll never be back. That was a true statement. 4.5 days later, I get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning. Says, Brother Gene, my brother-in-law's in the hospital. Can you get here? I'm in the middle of the woods with 15 teenage boys sleeping in a tent, about to freeze. It was 40, 45 degrees. You know, it'd been 90 and then it dropped to 40 on us. And I said, I'll be there as soon as I can get there. I got up, got out of the woods, had to make sure somebody was with the kids. I get to the hospital. He died 5 minutes before I got there. Me and my wife, Kathy, we were able to give the gospel to his wife. But she said, well, I don't want to accept Christ because I don't think my husband was saved and I want to be with him wherever he is. Folks, that's hard on a preacher. That's hard. That should be hard on any Christian when you hear that. But Christ divided there. Christ gave him the opportunity one more time. And he took his free will and he threw it away. You know, Christ was a divider in his ministry. He was a divider in his teaching. You know, we look around and, folks, if I tell them what they want to say, what they want to hear, I could have a big church. If Brother Knopfsinger would tell them what they wanted to hear, he would have a bigger church. If we would play the music that they wanted us to play, we'd have a bigger church. But, folks, if we teach what Jesus Christ teaches, if we teach what the disciple teaches, guess what? We're gonna lose some people because the gospel will offend some people. He was a divider. You know, it's a point of constant division was between Jesus and the established religion. They were always against him. They were always out to get him. You go to John chapter 7 for a moment, verses 11 and 12. In John chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, it says, then the Jews sought him at feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. You know, you think about that, how they were against him. Those in the synagogue were offended by his teaching. They doubted his authority. Today, the people of the world doubt the authority that is in this book today. And this is his authority. and we preach and we stand up here in front of the Lord first of all, and then in front of everybody else, and they adopt the authority of the very Word of God. You know, it says in Matthew 13 and verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Jose and Simon and Judas? They had doubted his authority. Do you remember the day that when a preacher could go or a pastor could go somewhere and people respected them? That day is not here anymore. Now, I know some of them have lived like the world. I understand that. But those of us who have lived godly, those of us who have made this gospel our life and made this gospel our life's work, because we believe in what Jesus Christ did upon a cross, it has divided us from people. You know, we look and we think even those who followed Jesus were divided. His disciples, there was division among them. Some of Jesus' teachings were a hard thing. You know, have you ever preached and have somebody tell you, you know, that was really hard, Brother so-and-so. That was really hard, Brother Gene. I can't believe you believe that's really a sin. Yes, it's sin. The Bible says it's a sin. Well, that's just too hard for me. You ever heard that? You know, Matthew 13 and verse 55 says, not Matthew, excuse me, John 6 and verse 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? See, they didn't agree with everything that Jesus said. But he was speaking for the Father. As a result, those, they turn and they refuse to follow him. We can go to John chapter 6 for a moment, verses 66 through 67. It says, from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. And we're in that time today, that many of the disciples have decided that it's too hard, and they've quit serving, they've quit attending, they've quit being faithful. And there's a remnant in our churches that are trying to be faithful, that are trying to stand in the gap. And they're trying to be divided because they're trying to love Jesus more than they love this world. You know, they refuse. From the time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, if we had everybody that we started out with 19 years ago, we would be a mega church. Some of you would too. You know, it's one thing, I'll tell you this, it's one thing to lose people to ministry. And what I mean by that, it's one thing to have somebody called out of your church to go start another work. That's a blessing. That's an honor to have that come out of you. But it's another thing when they just fall away and you can't find them with a search warrant. You know, the division revealed who truly was his disciples. Just like it is today, I believe we're going to be called to stand here shortly. Whatever you want to call them, sodomites, whatever, however you want to say it, we're going to have to stand. The abortion crowd, we're going to have to stand. Against the Muslims, we're going to have to stand. Against the socialists, we're going to have to stand. And God, Jesus Christ, divides us out from all of them. He's a divider. He brings us out from that. No, he was a divider in his ministry. You know, in John 6 and verse 68, Peter replies, he says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. There's nobody else but Jesus, folks. And if you feel like you don't fit in, that's okay. And if you feel like that you're not politically correct, That's okay as long as you are biblically correct. I told someone the other day, and some of you might think this is a little sarcastic, but he asked me, he said, when are you going to start preaching? He's another preacher in town. He said, when are you going to start preaching a different Bible? I said, probably when you start preaching the right one. I said, that's probably when. And he told me I was a smart aleck. I said, well, okay, I've been called worse. But folks, you know, we talk about standing for the Lord, and we have to realize, and then we wonder, we say, well, the world don't like us. Well, the world's not supposed to like us. My family don't like me. Well, your family's not supposed to like you if you're standing for Christ. Now, I'm not telling you to make the family mad. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you to give them the gospel and allow God to convict them and save them. You know, we look and we see here. You know, it's the same today. Most people like the teachings of Jesus. Everybody wants to talk about Jesus as long as it's about love and it's about happiness and it's about doing everything right. But they refuse when you start preaching Jesus and you say, hey, he is all this in love, but you need to repent. And they'll say, repent? What do you mean repent? If I repent, that means I have to give up some things. I have to change. I have to turn. Well, that's what Christ does. He divides us out. There's things that I cannot do anymore after I got saved. And there are things that I've done after I got saved that I shouldn't have done, and I had to find myself on my face on the altar to repent of it. You know, he was a divider in his miracles. You know, the world likes the part where it says, for God so loved the world. But they don't like the part where it says you must be born again. And we're in this place that they want the miracles of God in their life, but they don't want the one who provides the miracles. It's not a man that provides the miracles, it's Jesus Christ. He don't use somebody that slaps you on the forehead to produce that miracle. He uses his healing power because he is God. You know, it's no trouble to dispute his teaching, some people do, but his miracles presented them another problem. The Pharisees could not dispute the miracles, so they questioned his authority. Go back to John chapter 9 for just a moment. John chapter 9, verse 16. It says, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And then in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24, it says, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. You know, he's God. Man has a problem with God. Why does man have a problem with God? We know this because of his sinful nature. Why do the Sodomites have a problem with God? Because of their sin. Now, I would really have a problem. They marched in Nashville, and there was a bunch of them carrying a sign, and it was rainbow in colors. And some of you might have seen the sign on Facebook or whatever, but it said, Satan loves the LGBTQ. And then the Satanic Church came out and said 80% of their members were of that persuasion. Well, why should that surprise any of us? Because it's an abomination against God. We look here and we see today that Jesus is still dividing men. You know, they cannot accept what he does. They cannot accept that he died upon the cross, that he was that perfect sacrifice, that he washed away our sins, if they would just only accept that. They tried to discredit everything that the Lord did. They tried to discredit this Bible every time. And every time they try to discredit this Bible, because it is the true Word of God, it stands up head and shoulder and shows itself infallible every time. You know, they're still divided. You know, some people say they're in search of the real Jesus. I've got the real Jesus. Heard somebody the other day that I was witnessing to at work, and they said, well, if I can find the real Jesus, well, here's the real Jesus. He's in this book. Well, he killed so many people in the Old Testament, and I just don't like a killer. I said, have you ever read the Bible? Oh, yes, I had a class one time. Have you ever really studied out and see what God was doing when he brings the children of Israel through there? Have you seen what he was doing? No, they don't have a clue. And then you get some says, well, you know, if he was truly God, he would be in the Old Testament. Well, yes, he's in the Old Testament. He's from the beginning to the end of this book. You've all heard these arguments. I'm not bringing up anything new. But, you know, he was a divider even in his death. I thought about this when I was putting this together the other day in his trial. The people had to choose between Jesus and Barabbas. He divided the people. Pilate and Herod, they were divided on who would try Jesus. Pilate and his wife were divided over what to do with Jesus. Pilate and the Jews were divided on what to do. In his death, he divided, as we heard, he was the man in the middle. He divided two thieves. He divided heaven from hell. His death is the divider of all man's eternal destiny. Those who reject him will spend an eternity in hell, and those who accept will have eternal life. You know, in his resurrection, you think about this for a moment. He divided death and hell. He divided his own disciples. They doubted. He divided the chief elders. They paid the soldiers to lie and say that he was stolen and not risen. You know, he's still dividing today, folks. Christ will be a divider when he returns. I think about the rapture. I'm getting excited about it, actually. I've been teaching Revelation in Sunday school, the book of Revelation, and I tell you, I've been getting excited. And the reason why I'm getting excited, because everything that I read, I can say, well, that happened last week. And it's getting close. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know, when you think about this at his rapture, he's going to divide. He'll catch away those in Christ. I can't wait. Some of y'all don't know this about me, but I like speed. I like fast cars, I like fast internet, I like it fast, okay? But I've never rolled in something as fast as the rapture yet. And I believe it's coming. I know it's coming. I believe it's going to be in my lifetime. I believe all of us in this room could see it. And it says, though, he will catch those away in Christ, the believers. What a benefit that is. You know, he says he loadeth us up daily with his benefits. What a blessing that is. You know, he will leave behind those who have refused to accept him. You know, my heart is that nobody is left behind. That gentleman that died, it was not my heart at all for him to go to hell. All that hurt me, hurt my heart. I was like, just if you would accept it, just if you would have listened. Folks, we never know who walks through our doors and how close to death they really are. We don't know that. But Christ is going to divide them out. And he's going to divide us. You know, this picture that the world paints that everybody is all together and everybody's going to be happy and we're just supposed to love one another. We just all have to get along. Folks, here's the thing. We're supposed to love them and not their sin. We're supposed to give them the gospel. And if we truly give them the gospel with the right heart and the right spirit, we are loving them. We are loving them more than most of them have ever been loved before in their lives. He'll divide at his second advent. The Mount of Olives will be divided. In Zechariah chapter 14, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it shall move, half of it toward the south. The saved and the lost will be separated." We're going to be separated between the lake of the fire and eternal life with our Lord. He's going to divide. He came to divide. He didn't come to make everything warm and fuzzy like all these people think he did. He came to save men's soul out of sin. He did something for us that he did not do for the angels. You know, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There's going to be some that thought they're going to go to heaven and they're going to be in the lake of the fire because they truly didn't believe. They truly didn't get saved. I believe that a lot of people in our churches today have a head knowledge and no heart knowledge. Christ has never divided them out. Has he divided you out this afternoon? Has there been that time? I know I'm preaching to preachers and preachers' wives and solid church people. I understand that. But has there been a time that you've been divided out? Has there been a time that the Lord Jesus Christ showed you that you were a lost, dying sinner and that you were on your way to hell? If you've never had that opportunity, if he's never showed that to you, you're not saved. You've got to be saved from something. He's saving you from hell this morning. He's dividing. You know, I jot this down real quick. It says, he has divided those who believe in him by faith from those who simply know about him. He has divided those who are living for him from those who are living for themselves. He has divided those who are ready for his return from those who will be caught unprepared. That's how he divides. You know, Christian, it's uncomfortable to think that we got family members that could end up dying and going to hell. It's uncomfortable to think that there's people that we work with and people that we see every day that could die and go to hell. It's very uncomfortable. But folks, I don't believe when our Lord was here on this earth and he had left heaven to come down here to this rock that he was all that comfortable. There was people that was seeking him out. There was people every time he turned around that was against him. They were against him. They were against his disciples. And I sure would have a little discomfort here and see some of my family go to heaven. Folks, I got family, and I've got family here, and I praise the Lord for that. But I got family in this very town that probably wouldn't put me out if I was on fire because of things that we've stood for. And we have to understand that, you know, like I told one of them last time I saw him, I told him, I said, I love you. Well, we just don't like you because of what you do and how you preach. Well, God called me. But folks, he's dividing people today. Don't get discouraged because you see a falling away, because the Word of God said we would. When you look at the Word of God, and we do get discouraged, but when you look at the Word of God and you see what the Word of God says, you notice that it is following exactly what the Word of God says. So if everything that's happening around us is following the Word of God, just like it says, guess what? We're on the right road. We're right where we need to be. It does not make it easier. It does not give us an excuse to say, oh, it's the end times. Nobody's listening. There's no reason to go and preach. Folks, it gives us all the reason to heat it up. It gives us all the reason to preach a little harder. It gives us all the reason to preach about a man that died upon a cross for us, who loved us so much that was willing to divide this world to save this world. He's a divider, Brother Richardson.